Yo, what's cracking? This your homeboy Ice Cube, and you tuned in to Everything Snowboarding and More podcast. You know what it is, baby.
Hey, everybody. This is Mike with the Mountain Weekly News. Welcome back to episode number 52 of the Everything Outdoors, Snowboarding, and More podcast. This week's special guest is Matthew McGilvery. Matthew McGilvery is a professional surfer on the championship tour. This week he is in Lemoore, California at Kelly Slater's wave. He's competing. That's that wave that Kelly built in the middle of the desert. And the world championship tour is there in Lemoore. And we're going to talk to Matthew. This week's podcast is being sponsored by Alec Punks. Alec Punks are wireless audio for your helmets. These things are incredible. We've actually talked about Alec before on the show. Alec Punks are now available for pre-order at aleck.io. If you're interested in communicating with your friends on the mountain wirelessly or mountain biking, be sure to check out the Alec Punks. All right, this week's podcast guest is Matthew McGilvery. Matthew and I are talking from Lemoore, California. He is out at Kelly Slater's ranch, the surf ranch, competing, having a chance to watch all his mates, bunch of pro surfers, and yeah, this is really cool. Lots on the line right now for the comp, and basically I wanted to kick it off. The first part of this interview got cut off, so we're basically going to ask Matty how he got into base jumping and surfing and all this crazy stuff that he's been doing as of late.
Well, I guess I've got a very adventurous dad, and he would take us rock climbing as kids and kind of want us to have adventures. And then my older brother started skydiving, and then that's all I wanted to do. They actually started surfing before me, and that's why I wanted to start surfing, because I was always trying to copy them. But anyway, skydiving always became a dream, and then base jumping from watching too many YouTube videos as a kid as well. I was like, I really want to base jump one day. And the way to get into it is through skydiving. And so my older brothers, they got their licenses at 16. And then, yeah, when I finally turned 16, that's all I wanted to do. And then in 2018, my older brother decided he was signing up for a base jumping course in Twin Falls, Idaho. It's like the only legal bridge you can base jump off in America. There's a whole lot of base schools around there, so you can learn how to base jump. And it was like, hey, I'm going to go and like learn how to base jump. You can either stay behind or come with me and like follow through with this dream. For me at the time, I'd been skydiving, and skydiving was super intense, like a lot more scary than I'd first anticipated. But I was like, no, I can't miss out on this. If my brother's going to start base jumping, man, I can't not be doing it. And yeah, it's just progressed from there, I guess. It's become a big passion of mine, and it's very addictive. It's such a big rush.
And does the progression go into wingsuiting from here?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it was like about, I guess, in the beginning, was seeing videos of guys wingsuiting, and it just looks like the rawest form of human flights, and probably like the best feeling you can experience. Well, that's what it seemed like in my mind. I'm like, I want to be able to fly my body down a mountain. It just seems so cool. But obviously it's like not easy to get to that stage. It takes a lot of time and commitment and a lot of skydiving and a lot of base jumping. And you got to kind of progress up to that stage. And I got last year when I finally had time off after the tour finished and we had the three and a half months off, I went over to Europe, to Sweden, to like an indoor wind tunnel. And it's the only one for indoor wingsuit flying. So it's kind of a wind tunnel that has an incline, an angle. And then you get hooked up with a harness, you put a wingsuit on, and you learn how to fly wingsuits in this tunnel. So you get really accurate, and you can I spent 6 hours in the tunnel, actually. So it's equivalent to doing about 350 wingsuit skydives. So it's like fast tracking the progression, allowing you to learn in a lot shorter time. And then in January this year, before the tour started, I was able to do my first two wingsuit base jumps off some mountains in Cape Town before going off to Hawaii. So that was really cool. It was on my bucket list just to start that journey.
Oh, that's sick. So you're wingsuiting and you're actually seeing the ocean while you're doing some of these flights?
I haven't jumped off Table Mountain yet. Table Mountain, you have to be a pretty experienced wingsuit pilot just because you have to be able to start flying very quickly. The cliffs are not that high. the mountain's high, but the vertical cliffs aren't that high. So I want to be able to progress to that stage, hopefully later this year in the off season, if I'm able to spend some more time in the tunnel and get a few more jumps in on some safer cliffs, then my goal would be to jump off Table Mountain, fly down to the beach, land on Camps Bay, and then go for a beer down there. But yeah, that's the goal.
This is epic. Have you ever had any pushback from your sponsors with you doing the base jumping and kind of in that progression, maybe more so the sponsors that are involved in the surf industry?
I think Rip Curl was maybe a bit funny about it. I ended up getting dropped by them in December after my contract was up. They didn't want to renew. So I was thinking base jumping maybe had something to do with it. Although they didn't say anything about it. But yeah, I mean, other guys just think it's a little crazy, but they don't say I mustn't do it. And I guess it adds a bit more depth, at least to my career, that I have some other hobbies and that my whole life isn't just surfing, that I have some other interests too. I think that's cool. But yeah, I guess your sponsors have to be on board with it, because it's a very risky sport. And if you get injured, it can, yeah, just kind of put a big hold in your surfing career. So that's in the back of my mind too.
Right. And you're obviously surfing at the most professional level right now, you know, on the championship tour. I also read that you said something to the extent that, like, hey, if I wasn't surfing on the tour anymore, if I didn't make the cut, I'd be happy being in the qualifying tour or just going out and surfing with your bros. I mean, you're still a surfer number one. I mean, that's, you're not there necessarily just for the money and for the fame. I mean, you grew up surfing, you grew up at J Bay. I mean, this is what you do, and it's a part of who you are. And so it's really cool to hear that, you know, you're driven by actually just getting out there and being with your friends first and foremost. And then, hey, like, oh, I can make a job of this and a career and maybe get some wins and some 10 pointers and, like, cool, this is great.
That's what it's about. That's why we started surfing, because we love it. And then the competitions can slowly take away from that. If you don't have the balance, you can kind of get sucked into just competing because you're trying to get points and money. And I was at that place last year before the mid-year cuts. I was in a place where I was about to fall off. And then I kind of just had that perspective change where I was remembering why I started surfing, and like, I had a whole lot of pressure on myself beforehand, and then was able to let go of that pressure and just like remember that no matter what happened results wise, I'm still getting to do what I loved. And it's hard because the contests become an identity for you. It's like, what would I be doing without them really right now? Career wise, I'm not sure if I'd be studying at a university or like have some other weird job, but all I can imagine myself doing right now is surfing and hopefully doing some base jumping as well on the side. So I'm just really blessed to be able to do what I love right now. So I just got to make the most of it and enjoy the journey and see how long I can drift for.
Have you done any of the winter sports yet?
I haven't. I mean, it's still on my bucket list to go snowboarding and spend some time in the snow. But yeah, I guess I've mostly been in warm places all my life or close to the beach.
For sure. I think you'd be a natural at it. You know, it's great when we see, you know, surfers come into snowboarding because it's so much easier. You know, it's really hard the other way around. You know, you can be a professional snowboarder and you don't know how to paddle. So getting out into the lineup, you know, you're not going to figure it out. But you take somebody that knows how to get, you know, board, you know, board sports and has that balance, whether it's surf or wakeboard or skate. Okay, so let's talk about a little bit more about the wave right now. You're out in Lemoore, you're at Kelly's Wave. What's it like when you hit the bottom, or do you hit the bottom of that wave?
You can definitely hit the bottom on the barrel section. The bottom's pretty much concrete, so it's rock solid. And the wave's got a bit of push. Like if you end up in the lip, if you're in the wrong spot in the barrel and you go over the falls, you're going to go straight into the concrete. So it's not ideal. Just try don't fall head first. Like fall like a cat on your hands and feet and you're fine. But yeah, the bottom's solid. It hurts.
Oh, that's great. I'm just so stoked that you're there right now and you're getting to watch everybody surf. And then you guys are basically just staying there. And so how long are you out in Lemoore for? How long is the contest?
So we've got 3 practice days before the contest, and then the contest is 2 days. They have, they've changed the format this year. They've got like heats. If you win your heat, then you go straight to quarterfinals on the last day. If you come second or third, then you end up in a night surf off. And if you come fourth place, you're eliminated straight away. So it's a two-day event. And yeah, it's weird to just like know exactly what time you're going to be surfing your waves. Surfing is not usually that kind of sport where you have like an exact schedule of when everything's going to happen. So that's pretty cool.
Wow. And is it a wave that you would recommend for people if it was in their wheelhouse financially to book a trip and to go out to Lemoore? You know, if you're a surfer, a lot of my friends right now back in Southern California, they're no longer taking surf trips to actual like destinations. They're taking surf trips to these actual indoor, these man-made waves and thinking, hey, like we can maximize our time. Like we know we're going to get barreled. We're going to get waves. Is that something that you think would be good for, you know, the traveling surfer to check out?
I mean, if you can afford it, because I've heard it's really pricey to rent out the pool. But I mean, if you get the chance to, it's really fun to surf. I know it's for surf fans, it's not the best event to watch just because everyone's doing the same stuff. So it gets a bit monotonous. But for the surfers, it's a really fun wave to be on. And yeah, you get super barreled. So that part of it is cool.
Do you have a preference on the right or left at the ranch?
I like the right. The right's definitely a better way. The left crumbles a bit more. If you're a goofy footer, it's rippable, but it's pretty hard in the back end. But I think the right's better quality. As far as the surf goes, it's hard because like there's not much. I mean, I think what comes into play is time. If you only have like a day or two to go score some epic waves, at least you know you're going to score here. But if you want to go on like a two-week surf trip, then there's still way better places to go.
And then how about J-Bay for a traveling surfer? It's been on my bucket list my whole life. I mean, I grew up in Southern California surfing a right-hand point. I go down to El Salvador or Punta Roca's, like, I think the best wave I've ever surfed. I mean, J-Bay, I just the Tom Curran, the bottom turns, like, that's what I want. Is it something that somebody, especially from a, you know, another country, I mean, I've got red hair and I'm pale skin. I live in Wyoming now. I mean, I kind of stand out when I go to surf. Is it something that, you know, if I'm mellow and I kind of just take my time, will I be able to get some waves out there?
100%. And Jeffreys Bay, it's a long trip for people to get there. So I feel like it's still relatively uncrowded as far as for how well known the wave is. And when it's good, it's such a long point too. So it's pretty spread out. And if you get a swell where there is a couple days, then like after the first or second day, people are surfed out and then it's easier to get waves too. And the season is, I think in your guys' summertime, it's our winter. And that's when we're getting waves from like May to August. So there's a good window of opportunity there to score a swell. And we like to say it's sharky to kind of keep tourists away, but it's actually not that sharky. I feel like it's you guys are biggest sharks swimming around Southern California.
For sure. Yeah, no, actually, the last time I was back visiting my family, I was surfing in Southern California, and they closed the beach, and the lifeguards are screaming at me, get out of the water, get out of the water. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, there's a shark. And I was like, hasn't there always been sharks here? Like, when did this become a thing? But I guess they're bigger now, or maybe the social media, everybody's like fully puckered of surfing with sharks right now.
That's too funny. I think it's just the fact that we're seeing them more now is probably more drones and just people looking out for them, but they've always been there. What you don't know can't hurt you, right?
And then I guess a couple more questions from surfing in, you know, South Africa and that part of the world. Did you as a Grom or as an adult ever go up to Mozambique and check out the waves up there?
Yes, I've been up there like two or three times. There's a couple spots you can go, but there's sand bottom, right-hand point breaks, crystal clear, blue water. Just it's kind of like, I don't know. It's very rural and very uncrowded still. It's a big drive from my home to get up there, but yeah, if you score a swell, it's so worth it and just something completely different. Yeah, I got to go up there with Jordy Smith actually in 2020, right before COVID. He like took two skis up and they're trying to find a different, because he's got a couple secret spots up there. So he took me wave hunting, which was a pretty cool experience.
Wow, you and Jordy, is there a video of that up online?
He ended up making it into one of his O'Neill YouTube clips. It was because Scotty Bailey and Ian Crane joined us as well. We went up to a spot called the Pomen, which is like pretty far north. But the storm we chased was a bit too on the coastline. So we had swell, but we had wind at the same time. So it got pretty messy. So it wasn't all time. Yeah, he's had a few crazy sessions up there before. It's definitely a lot of potential in Mozambique.
Well, and I noticed you mentioned, you know, and you're not surfing for Rip Curl anymore, and I noticed you didn't have the stickers on your boards. Who's sponsoring you these days? Who's taking care of you?
Whistler picked me up this year, right before the first event. The person who started Whistler, Paul Nordia, he's an ex-South African. And yeah, when he heard I was off Rip Curl, then they got in touch with me. And yeah, I've been stoked to be on the team now. It's something new and fresh, and I really like their products and their wetsuits. They're a nice trendy brand, and they're less about the competitions and more about the free surf vibes and going on surf trips and sustainability and that sort of thing. So it's a cool brand, and yeah, just nice to be with them, and hopefully I'll be able to do some surf trips later in the year once the competitions are off.
And I guess last but not least, is there anywhere, what's your bucket list surf destinations? Are there some spots that you still haven't checked out or that people have been talking about that are kind of on your radar right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to do a proper surf trip to Morocco, because obviously they are crazy waves, but their crazy waves are in South Africa's summertime. So in South Africa, it goes flat in the summer. It's wintertime in Morocco, and they've got pumping waves. So just timing-wise, I'd love to go to Morocco. And then I've never done Fiji as well. So that's a dream of mine too. And then I'd love to spend more time in Mexico. I only got to go down there briefly for that one event in 2021, but it was during COVID, so we only had 4 days in Mexico, but I need to spend some more time there too. I guess I'm chasing the right endpoint breaks.
I love it. Well, man, we're excited to watch the comp. I mean, I love watching people get barreled, so I can, it's that's plenty for me. I mean, I just, you know, I feel like I wish we were doing this interview in person so that I could try and sneak out there and get some waves. So I got to somehow scam my way into the ranch one of these days. But yeah, no, it's really cool. And it's just interesting to see. I mean, like you said, you said we're in the desert. You're in the middle of Lemoore, California, a place that up until Kelly Slater and this, most people never heard of, let alone thought of as like, this is a surf destination. You know, you have Austin, Texas, you have all these Palm Springs, California. It's like, so it's almost like it kind of reminds me of like the North Shore, where like maybe you're going to see this like Rick Kane guy come up that has grown up in the wave pool, and then he's going to like go somewhere and it's like, oh man, I got to learn how to like, there's currents and there's like ocean and like totally different ball game, you know?
Yeah, the ocean's way more dynamic, that's for sure. But I think wave pools are going to come into play a lot more in the future. Just people can really dial in certain maneuvers, and surfing's going to become a lot more acrobatic with the wave pools. So it's going to be interesting to see where it takes the sports. I'm sure it's going to take it a lot further.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you jumping on the call with us today. Can people follow along with what you're doing on Instagram? And if so, how do they find you?
Yeah, 100%. My Instagram handle is Matt McGillivray. And then I've also got a YouTube channel, which I'm going to start growing. I've been pretty slack on my socials and YouTube, but I realize how important it is now to get content out there. So that's my goal as well this year, just to get better at that. So yeah, check out my YouTube channel and my Instagram. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah, I checked out your YouTube, and it was great to see all the skydiving and the base jumping. I was just like, oh, this dude's like, I was like, I thought I was talking to a surfer here. I was like, he's got one surf clip. This is great. But it's cool that you're doing everything, because, you know, there's not always waves, and to be able to like be stoked on other sports, you know, I mean, I grew up surfing and now I snowboard, and then I'm into trail running and hunting and mountain biking and all this other stuff. And then if anything, it almost feels like the training goes together. It's like you're being strong surfing and having good core strength is only going to help you when you're, you know, flying out of the air and trying to do weird maneuvers with your body.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a mental thing as well. It's a lot to do with the pressure and just being in the present moment in the zone. So I think it does help. The two do correlate, which is cool.
Well, best of luck this week with your comp, and we look forward to following you on the tour. And everybody check them out on Instagram, YouTube, and if you make it out to Jackson Hole sometime, we've got lots of powder, and it's one of those meccas, so come on out, and we'd love to take you out to do some snow surfing.
I appreciate it. No, thanks so much for the chat. Appreciate the call, and yeah, have a good rest of your day.
All right, you too. Bye.
Epic. Cheers.